Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you for bearing with us. Oh my, life is something else, I'll say. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Okay, got a green light. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay, praise the Lord. Oh my, you just never know. But God is good. God is with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to be here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for this wonderful privilege of being here, Lord. We know, oh God, that, oh, where two or three are gathered together in Your name, oh Lord, that You are in our midst. You are here in our midst, even here tonight, Lord. And oh God, we thank You, Lord. Oh God, that we know that You are here, oh God, to meet the needs of Your people, Lord. Oh God, to change the things that need to be changed, oh Lord, to give light in the darkness, oh Lord. And oh God, to give us the answers that our hearts seek. Oh God, You know every circumstance, every situation, Lord. And I just pray that You would work here tonight. I pray that You would meet the needs of Your people, Lord. Oh God, for You know every individual struggle and oh God, everything, oh Lord, that needs an answer, needs a response. Oh God, but Thou art here to help us, Lord. And I pray that You would put a faith deep in our hearts, God. We know not what tomorrow may hold, Lord. But oh God, we ask that You would put faith in our hearts. Oh God, give us the ability to stand against the wiles of the enemy, against these times, these dark hours, Lord. Give us that ability. Put that faith, that trust in our hearts deep within, Lord. I pray that You'd work here tonight. I pray that You'd meet the needs of Your people, Lord. I pray, oh God, oh Lord, by Your Spirit, by Your strength, oh Lord, that mountains that need to go would go in the name of Jesus. For You know every circumstance, Lord. I pray that You'd give me the words, Lord. I pray that You'd use this message. Oh God, I pray for Thy strength and Thy enablement. Oh Lord Jesus, Thy anointing, Lord. Pray that You would be here in Jesus' name by the power of the blood, Lord. Be with Your people, Lord. Heal those that are sick, Lord. Touch their lives. Oh God, You know every circumstance. And I pray that You would move here tonight. You'd give faith, Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that You would heal, Lord. That You would revive, oh Lord. That You'd give us that encouragement that we need, oh Lord, and that strengthening. And oh God, that determination that we need to stand regardless of everything else, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus, I ask this, Lord. Oh God, in particular, do continue to touch Mackenzie, Lord. To continue to heal her, Lord. Stretch forth Your hand to meet her needs. Give her that sleep. Oh Lord, let Thy peace be upon that circumstance in Jesus' name. And oh Lord, You know likewise every need of all Your people, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that these needs would be met in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise our God. It's so good to know the Lord in these very, very uncertain times. And I'm so glad we have His Word. You know, what to think otherwise? If we didn't have our roadmap, if we didn't have our guide, it would be so hard to interpret these times and know what to think. What would we stand on? What would we hold to? I'm so thankful that we have the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message, Wait, I Say on the Lord. Wait, I Say on the Lord. And we know, oh my, there are times of waiting in each of our lives. I do recall that waiting isn't always the funnest thing that we ever did. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it can seem like such a long wait that we might despair. We might even attempt to give up. We might, you know, do another course when it seems like the answer isn't going to come. But, you know, there are those moments when the answer may not come immediately. But, oh my, as that word wait tells us, it means to bind together, and figuratively it means to expect, to gather together, to look patiently, to tarry. and to wait for or wait on or wait upon. Praise the Lord. And with his help, in spite of everything, because we all go through conflicts. We all have trials. We all know what battles are. Sometimes it might be sickness. Sometimes it might be pain. Sometimes it might be enemies that have risen up against us. Maybe there are false accusations that have come upon us, and oh my, it seems, oh my, like there's a mountain that's so great that who could move it? Of course, you know all the things, internal struggles, all that we fight, all those battles in our mind. Sometimes the things of the past that, you know, turn again and again to make us, wonder. But oh, praise the Lord, our God is greater than that. Of course, yes, there's misunderstandings, there's conflicts, there's all kinds of confusion in this world. But oh my, if we know the Lord, we know one who comes through. We know the one that knows how to help us fight these battles. And I think that is one thing that we find in the Psalms. Oh my, we hear of trouble so often. But oh my, those that learn to wait upon the Lord knew what it was like to see the Lord come and save the day, so to speak. Oh, to bring forth the answers and to do things that seem even impossible. Who's to know? Because we do serve a God that can do all things. If we could just get that in our heads, that there is nothing too hard for our God. And he can do anything but fail. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Psalms 25 as we begin here tonight. Psalms chapter 25. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh my, this is a Psalm of David. And yes, he's reflecting in a time of trouble, obviously. But oh my, as he is going through this struggle, he is also waiting upon the Lord. Let's look at this psalm here. Verse 1, it says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." I believe, oh yes, as he's saying these words, as he's singing them, or however it came out, this Psalm of David, he's saying, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." There is a cry that's coming from within. There is a need. There is a problem. There is a circumstance. But praise the Lord, in the midst of this, he's lifting up his soul unto God. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, he says in verse 2, "Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." Obviously, he's in one of those battles. And oh yes, there's an enemy that's trying to trample on him, to try to triumph over him. But oh my, he states what's in his heart here. "Oh my God, I trust in thee." That's where his confidence is. That's where his strength is. And he's crying out with all his being, "Oh my God, I trust in thee." And he says, "Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." And he goes on to say, oh yes, because obviously there's opposition. There's an enemy that's coming at him. And he may be standing there alone for all we know. You know, oh my, there's all these conflicts. And sometimes we're pretty alone in some of these battles, so it seems. But praise the Lord, if we've got the Lord, oh, we've got a mighty strength. Oh yes, we've got a mighty fortress with us. Oh yes, a mighty one that, oh, knows how to help us. And he goes on to say in verse 3, "Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause." And so, yes, he's turning it on the troublemakers, those which are causing the problem, the dilemma. Oh, yes, the strife, and, you know, for whatever sake. Oh, yes. Maybe just because they don't like him. Oh, yes, you know, maybe because, oh, my, he said something that offended them, perhaps, or, you know, they didn't quite understand what he was doing, and they turned on him. Or maybe, oh my, you know, there's an opposition, some force, some power, some being. But oh my, he's asking God to turn it around, that those which are transgressing without a cause, that the shame would turn on them. And yes, instead let none that wait on thee be ashamed. And then as this cry goes forth, he says in verse 4, he says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. And oh my, it's so easy to go astray. It's so easy to get confused. It's so easy to wander away at times, especially when the pressure is on and there's stress. There's some kind of problem and you're feeling it. But praise the Lord, oh, there is one that can help us. And he's asking God to show him his ways, God's ways. And to teach me thy paths. Oh my, the Lord knows how to guide us, how to direct us, how to show us, how to teach us. Amen. And oh my, sometimes we're blinded to the answer. Sometimes, you know, it might even be a simple thing. But sometimes it's like, you know, there's a blinder over our eyes, over our mind, and we just don't get it. And maybe we're so confused and distressed in our spirit that we can't even think properly. But oh, praise the Lord, we serve a mighty God who knows how to help us regardless. And here he's asking God to show him his ways and to teach him his paths, God's paths. And he says in verse 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's so proper to wait on the Lord. You know, God doesn't get confused. You know, he's not befuddled. And, you know, there are reasons. And many times, you know, we couldn't possibly understand it on the surface. But praise the Lord, if we can put our faith, our trust in the Lord, he knows how to bring forth the answer. You know, I was thinking as I was reading this earlier, there in the 6th chapter of the book of John, there was that time Jesus had been teaching. He'd been teaching that he was the bread of life. And after he finished that message, there were many that got up and left, so to speak. Even those that had been considered his disciples, it tells us in the 66th verse of this 6th chapter of John that there were many of his disciples that went back and walked no more with him. And oh my, that couldn't have been too easy for our Lord, our Savior. You know, he turned to the 12 and he asked them, he said, will ye also go away? And praise the Lord, Simon Peter answered. He said in verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord, I love it. That confidence that was in his soul, he knew beyond a shadow of doubt that Jesus was that Christ, that Messiah, that anointed one that the prophetic utterances had all looked forward to. And oh, yes, he affirmed it in his heart. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And yes, oh, he asked, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, you know, so often people look to other sources, other means, you know, medical professionals or financial directors or, you know, this person, that person. But you know what? There is one who has answers for every dilemma, every circumstance, and To whom else could we go? Seeing that He has the words of eternal life, He is the only one that can lead us in the way everlasting. Praise the Lord. So here in Psalms 25, oh, it was so proper that David said, oh yes, on Thee do I wait all the day. Praise the Lord. That's where his faith, his trust, his confidence was. Then he went on to say, oh yes, in verse 6, remember, O Lord, Thy tender mercies and Thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to Thy mercy, remember Thou me for Thy goodness' sake, O Lord. I know sometimes those things from the past try to creep up on people. Sometimes on all of us, you know, things that were, you know, mistakes and things that we would prefer that we wouldn't even have to retain in our understanding, in our minds. Things we wish we never would have done. Oh my, sometimes they creep up and they play like a record again and again over in our minds at times. But praise the Lord. David is asking, oh yes, that God would remember His tender mercies, His loving kindnesses, all those things, those characteristics that have been ever of old. And then, yes, he requests that God would not remember the sins of his youth, nor his transgressions. And he says, according to Thy mercy, remember Thou me for Thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Oh my, it is so good that we can put things in the hands of our loving God. Oh, that we to know that His mercies fail not. I love how it says in Micah, that minor prophet, chapter 7, verse 18, it says, who is a God like unto Thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever because He delighteth in mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. What a God we serve. He would rather delight in mercy than retain His anger. And it says in verse 19 here in Micah 7, He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Oh, praise the Lord. What a gracious God we serve. One who forgives and forgets, casting all our sins into the depths of the sea. They're not retained in the mind of God. They are forgotten. They are buried. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we have that wonderful privilege to come to God, to repent of our sins, to give our lives over to Him. Yes, then to obey the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Oh, praise the Lord, our gracious God who takes our sins. He subdues our iniquities. Praise the Lord. In other words, He conquers our iniquities and He casts all our sins into the depths of the sea. Oh, praise the Lord when we come to Him in repentance. Oh, yes. Oh, and obeying His command to be baptized. Oh, praise the Lord. What a privilege we have to serve the mighty God. Yes, so David was crying here, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to Thy mercy, remember Thou me for Thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a compassionate God. Oh, He takes our sins and also our transgressions. Oh, transgressions being the violation of a law or a command or a duty, a breach in the contract, you could say. Oh, and we've all been guilty. But praise the Lord, our God is so gracious to us. He is so willing to forgive and to forget. Oh, who is a God like unto our God? Who else could be like that? Oh my, people may try. But sometimes, oh my, you know, man in his, and woman, of course, you know, in our flesh, you know, our weakness, you know, we sometimes don't do so well in those ways. But God does. Oh, yes, he forgets and he forgives. And praise the Lord, we can rely on that wonderful gift to be forgiven. And oh, yes, to have those sins remitted. Praise the Lord Jesus in the depths of the sea. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to go to Psalms 130 right now. And this is another song of cry, a desperate cry. I don't know who the author of this psalm was. It just says a song of decrees here. But oh my, it's a cry from the heart. It's a desperate cry as we look at Psalms 130. It says here in verse 1, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. And you know, sometimes, oh my, I know the Lord hears our thoughts afar off. He knows, you know, what we are thinking. But sometimes, oh, we just need to let it come out. Sometimes we just need to just, you know, cry out with our voice, with our vocal cords. And I believe, oh yes, the psalmist was crying out, oh, there was a situation, there was a problem. He needed some answers. And oh, yes, I believe he said it aloud. He said, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Oh, that cry that was coming, oh, from the heart, that humble request that was coming from within, that great need. And I believe, oh, yes, this is a desperate cry out of the depths. Amen. Oh, yes. And then there's a question asked in verse 3. Oh, yes, the question being, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? And yes, if the Lord was like people and, you know, okay, 1, 2, 3, and you're out, then, I mean, we'd all be goners. We'd all be lost. Oh my. But it says in verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Oh, praise the Lord, our great and wonderful God. Oh, the great one. Oh, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So great. But yet, oh yes, so willing to forgive those that will cry out to him with repentance. Oh, with a repentant heart. Oh yes, to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. Oh yes, crying out, realizing that there's a need. And oh yes, that the life needs to be turned over to the living God. Oh, I am so thankful when the Lord gets our attention. Oh, yes, that we can give it to the Lord. And know that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. There is no God like our God. So mighty, but yet so willing. Oh, to hear our cries. And to forgive us, oh yes, those things that we have done. Oh, it says in verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning, I say. More than they that watch for the morning. Oh my, it might have been a while before the answer came. But I believe this psalmist, oh yes, oh there's an eagerness, there's a need. Oh, and he's anticipating the Lord hearing his cry. He's anticipating the Lord is going to intervene. I believe there is faith in this waiting. Praise the Lord. And even though he's waiting, he's saying, I'm waiting for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Oh my, oh, he's waiting with great anticipation and eagerness. Oh, just knowing that, oh my, the answer is around the corner. If you could just hold on, if you could just wait, if you could just have patience and bear with it until the answer comes. Oh, he went on to say, verse 7, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? And he went on to say in verse 8, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Oh, praise the Lord. I believe this psalmist had hope in his heart. Oh, yes, as he waited, as he relied on the mercy of God. You know, there's faith here in this struggle. You know, there's faith in this waiting. He's talking about God's greatness, his mercy, his redemption. And that fact that he was going to redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Oh, yes, that look to the Savior at such a time as that. Oh yes, he had not yet come yet. But oh my, it was in their heart that one day the Redeemer would come to them and save them from their sins. Oh, they would be forgiven. Oh yes, they wouldn't have to, you know, shed the blood of bulls and goats to obtain forgiveness of sins. But oh yes, there was coming one that would make a way for them. Oh yes, that they could look to and live. Praise the Lord, one that would redeem them from all their iniquities. All those things of the past. All that transgression. All those things that cause conflict and sorrow and sickness and all kinds of difficulties. Oh, praise the Lord. How beautiful it was when Jesus Christ came on the scene. Oh yes, and John the Baptist could cry, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ coming to this earth to seek and to save those which were lost. Amen. He came for that reason. Yes. Because we needed a Savior. Oh yes, we needed to be forgiven our sins. We needed to have a hope beyond this world. And though it might have been a long wait, oh, it was going to be worth it. Because, oh, with the Lord, there are answers. Oh, yes. Oh, there is deliverance. There is hope in the Lord our God. Amen. If we could just wait on the Lord. Oh, yes, with faith and anticipation, with eagerness, knowing that he will hear us and he will answer that cry. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to go to the book of Joshua right now, and I want to give us just some examples here tonight. I'm anticipating a couple here that I think are pretty striking. Oh, individual circumstances that, oh my, were pretty huge, but God had answers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the book of Joshua here tonight. And I'm pretty much going to be in the 7th chapter here of the book of Joshua. But first of all, I just want to explain, you know, they had just fought the battle of Jericho. And oh my, what an amazing thing that was, you know, as they had circled Jericho those 7 days. And I'm sure, you know, the people that lived, you know, in Jericho behind those walls wondered, what in the world? And my, what a story. But oh my, God had it all planned out, and they just had to, you know, do it according to his ways. Precisely, God had told them how to do it. And yes, they obeyed. Joshua led them well. And yes, they had circled Jericho once for 6 days. And then that 7th day, oh my, they circled it 7 times. And oh yes, oh, the 7th time around, oh, the trumpets blew, and you know, Joshua gave the sign that it was time for the people to shout. And wow, as they shouted, as they did it God's ways, Oh, yes, those walls came down. Praise the Lord, every wall of Jericho fell. As they shouted, as they obeyed the plan of God, and they went in, and that city was delivered to them, and only those that were with Rahab were delivered. And you know, she had done well. She had, of course, she had kept the spies, and because of that faith she had, she knew that, those people, those Israelite men who had come there were not normal. They had something greater than was the norm, beyond, what she had seen before, that there was a faith, that there was hope, that they believed in a God that, answered prayer. And, oh, yes, she asked if, when they came, oh, yes, to bring down that city, that, will there be a provision made so that she could be delivered? And praise the Lord, God saw her faith. In fact, her faith is so great that, it was mentioned in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And, yes, she was brought out, and all those that were in her house, praise the Lord, her father and her mother, her brethren, and all her kindred that she had, told them, and said, if you come and be with me, there will be safety. They were all delivered. And yes, otherwise that city was burnt with fire. And oh yes, the silver, the gold, the vessels of brass, and all the iron, they were taken out and put into or towards that which would be put toward the treasury of the house of the Lord. But oh my, it was a mighty, mighty victory. But here in the 7th chapter of the book of Joshua, we see that something else happens. We have a spiritual high, we could say, in that 6th chapter of Joshua, with defeat there of those at Jericho. But here, in the 7th chapter, we see something else happens. It tells us, as we look at this chapter, verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And there is one thing that we must know, that God had strictly told them, as they took Jericho, that, they could take of the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron. But they were not to take of anything else, nothing for themselves. The things that they took were to be put into the treasury of the Lord. And they were told strictly that they must not take any of the other things that were accursed. But obviously, somebody didn't give heed. Somebody did exactly what they were not supposed to do. And yes, we read of that person here in this first verse of Joshua 7. It was Achan. And it tells us that God was not pleased. In fact, God is angry. Oh, that somebody transgressed, that somebody took of the accursed things. So it tells us here in verse 2, Joshua is not aware that this has happened at this point. And it tells us in verse 2, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And Ai was like 12 miles west of Jericho. And so, yes, he sent out some men to look it over and see what, would be involved here. Tells us in verse 3, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. Yeah, so, they had, had a great victory. And now I would say they're overly confident. Oh, they think, well, AI is not very big, and we just did Jericho. This should just be, you know, simple to go in there and take it. We don't need that many people. Oh, my, to take AI. But it doesn't record here that they sought God first, besides. And so here they are with their overconfidence, I would say, at the moment. Verse 4 tells us, so there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote at them about 30 and 6 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Chephirim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Oh my, they couldn't believe it. 36 of them, oh yes, were smitten. And they were being chased. Oh my, little place as it was. And here they thought, this would be a pinch to take. But oh my, no, it's not so. They were smitten, and all at once, oh my, instead of being full of courage and bravery, you know, their hearts are melting, and it says, became as water. And this is Joshua at this point. Oh my, he didn't anticipate this by any means. He didn't think this kind of trouble would follow. Oh my, God had just given them a great victory over Jericho. He didn't expect this. What did he do? Oh, it tells us he waited on the Lord. Oh my, he was, feeling this great need. There was trouble, and he didn't know what to do, obviously. It describes it in verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. Oh, they realized there was trouble. They had expected an easy victory, but it hadn't happened. And they, were being chased, and some of them had died. And oh my, what were they going to do? And why is this? So here's Joshua. Oh my, in great trouble. Oh, he's leading the people, and the elders are here with him. And oh my, he got down on his face before the Lord. Oh, he spent that time unto the eventide. And oh, yes, he put dust upon their heads. And oh, my God, what are we going to do? Why, God? And this is how he prayed. It tells us in verse 7. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Oh my, you know, we might as well tell it as it comes to us. You know, these are the thoughts of his heart. And you know, God knows our thoughts afar off anyway. And I like this honest prayer, this cry of the soul, this travail as he sought the Lord here. And oh, this great time of trouble when he didn't know why, or he couldn't understand why the defeat and why God was not defending them. And my, what are the others going to, you know, think of the other Canaanites would hear? Oh my, this little place of Ai, you know, they were able to overcome us. And everybody's going to hear us and hear of it. And you know, that's going to mean that we're all, you know, they're all going to come in then and, you know, cut us off. And how will that make you look? You look even God. You know, what would that do for your name? Well, God spoke to Joshua. Verse 10 tells us, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. They also transgress my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Oh my, there is something that Joshua didn't know. And it tells us in verse 12, the reason why they could not stand before the men of Ai. Oh, yes, sin was in the camp. Oh, sin does not do us any honor. Oh, sin sets us back. Sin, oh yes, causes all kinds of havoc, all kinds of hindrances. And it tells us here in verse 12, God's answer here. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. And oh my, he said in verse 13, up, sanctify that people, and say, sanctify thyself against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Oh, I wonder how often people are hindered, oh, set back, even destroyed because they are entertaining things of the world, because, oh, there is sin in the camp. There are things that they have allowed in their lives that have taken over, and oh my, God cannot bless. God cannot move. Oh, God cannot set free because there is sin in the camp. Oh, we know that we're told even a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And oh my, oh, sometimes, oh, you know, a time, sometimes the standards that God sets forth are disregarded. Oh, they're let down. Oh, changes can come into the picture. And oh, you know, oh, complacency. And oh, God, sometimes even downright backsliding. Oh, we've seen that in the churches. Oh my, we've seen pagan ways come in. Oh yes. Oh, we've seen a lot of filthiness in this world and music that is of the world even come into the churches. And all kinds of other things that are not appropriate in what should be the house of the Lord. Oh my, all kinds of entertainment of all sorts, and music that is not of God, music that often sounds just like the world's music. Oh, so bad, the rap sound of it, or the drums and everything else, and you know, the things that displease God sounds just like the world. Oh, the celebrations that people do, heathen observations. Oh my, you might even see things like a karate class or a yoga class or some other Eastern practice in what is a church. Oh, people have embraced all kinds of things that God cannot look at. And oh my, we see as it has gone, oh yes, that way. The sins, oh yes, that people have overlooked and excused. And not regarded and thinking, oh my, I'm okay, you're okay. Oh, you know, they let all that leaven in. And not considered, what does the Word of God say? What does God think? Oh my, He doesn't want any accursed thing in the midst of His people. No, it's going to hinder it. God has not changed. Oh yes, if He could not work in the midst of Israel in the days of Joshua because there was an accursed thing among them, would it not still be true today? Oh my, you know, I fear that if there is time, yet I see the coming of the Lord very soon, but I've seen that churches have embraced even homosexuality, same-sex marriage, and all kinds of things. I know some of them might even use Harry Potter and books of that ilk for their Sunday school material. I know sometimes they don't even read out of the Bible, and maybe it's most likely it's another version of the scripture that isn't taken from the true text. Oh, we've seen so many things happen. Oh yes, entertainment that is filthy, perverted, and oh my, things that people of the Lord need to abstain from. Oh yes. And as we know this story, oh yes, it came to be that yes, they had to all get come out and see what God would say. He was going to show Joshua who it was that had taken the accursed thing. And yes, it had to be put behind them. It had to be taken out. And oh, praise the Lord. It was discovered, wasn't it? The Lord showed, oh, that it was Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah. You know, it all was revealed. And I'm just thinking how it is. On that great day when we stand before the Lord, how everything is going to be opened in the sight of God. Oh, at that moment, it's going to be clear who is righteous and who is wicked. It's going to be clear. Sometimes things are hidden. Sometimes, you know, they're covered up. Sometimes, you know, you might pretend, oh my, to be a saint of the Lord, and yet your heart far from God, and things in your heart that are wrong, and oh my, you might think you're getting by with it. But all that day, oh, when the Lord comes, it's going to be oh so obvious. I'm thinking of Malachi, the third chapter. At this moment, it says in verse 16, Malachi, verse 16 of chapter 3, "Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Oh, how God loves his people. Oh, as he sees them. Oh, yes, as his jewels. Praise the Lord. Verse 18 here in Malachi 3 says, "Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Oh, everything is going to be so clear at that day. Oh, when the Lord comes and his light shines. Oh, how we want to be right in his sight. How we want to have all our lamps trimmed and burning, and we don't want anything to hinder us. Nothing in our soul, nothing between us and our God. Nothing, oh yes, that would cause us, oh Lord, nor the Lord knows, to, you know, be hindered from entering in to the place that he has reserved for those that love him and serve him. Oh, it all will become so clear. Everything disclosed, nothing hidden, everything clearly revealed. At that moment when our God comes upon the face of this earth. But how it was, what a moment when Joshua realized, oh my, that they had been chased away out of Ai. They were going to be defeated. Oh, the battle wasn't going to be won unless, oh my, God came through and answered. And he didn't know why. But what did he do? Yes, he rent his clothes and he fell to the earth upon his face upon the ark, before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. Oh, he got down there. Oh, yes, in the dust to seek the Lord, to wait on God, to find an answer. He had to know. And oh my, even though that answer was very difficult, it had to be uncovered. Oh, yes, because otherwise there was no way that they were going to win those battles. There was no way that they were going to continue to go into Canaan land and take it over. God would not be with them if they had the accursed thing among them. Oh, my. It is so important that God's people put away the idols, the things that displease God. Oh, oh my, that we do not give our eyes to things that, oh, are blasphemous in the eyes of God, accursed in the eyes of God. Oh, something that he despises and hates. Oh, we don't want to ever laugh at something that he despises. We don't want to give our attention to something that, oh my, is abominable in his sight. We want to be so right in God's sight. And sometimes, oh yes, as the psalmist prayed, oh yes, I'm thinking here of Psalms 51, where, oh yes, there was a cry that came from the heart of the psalmist. It's the psalm of David. Oh yes, when he cried, oh my, oh that need to create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh yes, he needed to be purged with hyssop at that point. He knew he needed to be clean. Oh yes, he knew he needed to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. And praise the Lord. Oh yes, I am so thankful that God hears those cries of repentance. Oh yes, when the heart surrenders toward God. Oh yes, and all things are made right by the mercies of our God. Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. Another psalm of David. Oh, he cries in Psalms 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, there is a time to search the heart, and I'll make sure that there is nothing between us and our God. Oh yes, we wait upon him. Oh yes, we want to make sure, yes, that there is no sin to hinder us. Amen. I want to go now to the New Testament, and I'd like to go to Acts, the 12th chapter. And here we see another circumstance here. In this case, of course, it's the New Testament church. And we see that Herod the king has become rather bold here. And I guess it was his motive to please the Jews. And yeah, he went and took James, the brother of John, and killed him with a sword, as we are told in this 12th chapter of the book of Acts. And because, yes, it pleased the Jews, he thought he'd go another step beyond that. What did he do? He took Peter also. And oh my, tells us in verse 4 here of Acts, the 12th chapter. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And of course, this is all interesting. It is a time of unleavened bread, but here Easter refers to the heathen festivity, a spring festivity called Ishtar or Easter. And my, oh my, it coincides with the observance that people do yet this very day. But here is Peter. Oh yes, he's been cast into prison and he's delivered to this quaternion of soldiers, and there's four of them that change during the night. And from what I understand here, there are two soldiers there with him, guarding him right inside the prison, and the prison door is the quarters where he is, and the dungeon or whatever it is, I'm supposing it was very nice, and then two soldiers outside, that would be a quaternion, and then so it states four, so that means that during the watches of the night, they change the quaternion. But anyway, here they have taken Peter. They put him in prison. And you know, I can imagine here the early church is being tested. And oh my, you know, what a time. Because already they took James, the brother of John, one of the apostles, and he's been killed with a sword. And now they've taken Peter. And what are they to think, the early Christians? Because, oh my, you know, what's going to happen? You know, One man has already been killed with a sword. And would Peter be killed next? They didn't know. They didn't know what to think. But I like what they did. It tells us here in verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Oh, praise the Lord. What were they doing? They were waiting on God. Oh my, it says without ceasing. In other words, they had gathered together and they were praying continuously, not knowing how God would answer. And it must have seemed almost hopeless in some ways because, wow, you know, one man has already been killed and now they have Peter. But what a mighty God we serve. Oh, a God who hears the cries of his people. Oh, praise the Lord. And it tells us here in Acts 12, verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. But oh, what a surprise. Verse 7 tells us, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Oh, praise the Lord, what a mighty God we serve. You know, we don't always know how he's going to answer, but oh my, that hope within causes us to cry out. Causes us to wait on the Lord. And that's what the church of God was doing. Oh, yes, they didn't know how God would intervene, what he would allow, what would happen. But God chose to do a mighty miracle. Praise the Lord. He sent his angel, oh, to come up there into the prison where Peter was kept. Oh, yes, there in that dark place, that dungeon, that dingy place where Peter was. And praise the Lord, there was a light. Oh, the light of God, oh, coming upon the scene. And oh, yes, he hit Peter on the side. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, you know, there's no... And to his power, his ability. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Oh, praise the Lord, the angel led him out of that prison. And what an event, you know, here we've got, you know, doors just opening up, you know, iron doors, you know, that you really couldn't pass under normal circumstances. But, you know, the first ward, the second ward, oh, the iron gate, they all open up of their own accord. Oh, yes. At the will of God, at the voice of God, the direction of God. Oh, praise the Lord. And here that angel led Peter out. He thought he was in just seen a vision or something. But all at once, they were out in the street. And suddenly that angel departed from him. And there was a realization within Peter. Wow. I've been delivered. I've been set free. God has sent forth his angel to deliver me. And it tells us in verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And you know, it's so amazing here. Here they have been praying without ceasing, continuously, you know, asking God to do a miracle. And when it happened, oh, they were so astonished that, you know, they're going to tell Rhoda that she's mad. Yes, they said in verse 15, and they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And then, you know, their second guess was, "Well, then it's an angel. It's his angel. He's come back as an angel." Then said they, "It is his angel." But praise the Lord, Peter continued knocking, it tells us. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Oh, our God who answers prayer, a God who hears the cries of his people who wait on him. Oh, it is so true. We don't always know how God will precisely answer. But one thing we know, he hears, he answers. He answers, oh, appropriately. Oh, yes, he knows what is best. And praise the Lord here with Peter. Oh, yes, he had delivered him out of the hands of Herod. Oh, yes, from sure death. And praise the Lord, the people, oh, the Christians could hardly believe it. They were so astonished. Verse 17 tells us, but he beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we never know how God will answer. But oh my, it never is wrong to wait upon the Lord. It's never wrong to bend the knee and to cry out to God and hold on to faith and to wait for the answers to come. We serve a faithful God and there is nothing too hard for him. And oh yes, he can do the impossible. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, let's turn to Isaiah 40 and read that beautiful passage at the end of Isaiah 40. Praise the Lord. Let's begin with verse 27 here. It says in verse 27, Isaiah chapter 40, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Oh, I'll tell you what, that is so wrong, isn't it? You don't want to think, you know, that your way is hid from the Lord. You can get by with, you know, doing whatever you want to do. And, you know, your judgment is passed over. In other words, it's excused. Excuse me? I don't think so. God sees and God knows. Oh, yes, and you're not going to hide from God. Oh, yes, this chapter goes on, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. And I love it. Oh my, that's our God. Oh yes, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, the everlasting God. He's not going to faint. He's not going to grow weary. There's no searching of his understanding. Oh, he doesn't have to puzzle over the matter. He doesn't have to look into all the books to discover what the answer is. He doesn't have to seek and search and look and everything else. No, there's no searching of his understanding. But praise the Lord, he has mercy on his people. It tells us in verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Oh, I love that. Have you ever been there? Oh, at a time when you really didn't have any strength of your own, yet you needed to do something, you needed a strength. And God gave it to you. You know, he empowered you, even though, oh my, physically, perhaps you weren't able. So you thought. But that's our God. Oh my, you might have thought you were so tired that you couldn't possibly do another thing. Maybe you were so weak that, oh my, you couldn't bend again. You couldn't, shovel another furrow there in the garden or whatever all. But oh, our God, He knows how to give power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. Oh, praise the Lord. I've been there at times when I just felt so tired, so worn out, and maybe even faint. Yes, I've even been there where I felt faint. But oh, I thank God, because He knows how to uphold us. He knows how to give us a strength that we do not have of ourselves. It tells us in verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But praise the Lord, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God upholding His people. God giving us a strength to go forth and do whatever we need to do by His strength, by His mercy. Oh, we realize ourselves, without Him we could do nothing. But oh my, what a strength He gives to the people of God. Oh yes, oh, the youth falling on every side perhaps. Young men, those that you would think would have strength, not able to go forward. But praise the Lord, there is a people of the Lord. In spite of circumstances that have a strength that only God can give us. And I know with times such as we're living in right now, we need to realize that there may be moments where we could not do it of ourselves. Oh, there may be moments and it seems like there's a complete closed door and there's no way to open it. Oh, we might feel like, there's no escape from whatever is going on in this world. No food in the house, no way to get it, completely shut in. I don't know what's ahead. But all I know is we serve an amazing God. Oh, we serve a very faithful God. And I marvel, how He's able to help us. As He helped Joshua. Oh my, Joshua didn't know why they had been defeated there at Ai. And oh my, what a moment, what a low moment. They had gone from a great victory there at Jericho and all at once, oh, they were down to a very low. But yet, oh my, when you wait upon the Lord, the answers come forth. And oh my, there was something that had to be resolved in that situation. There's something that had been concealed. Oh yes, something that had gone awry. It had to be taken care of. But oh my, because Joshua was willing to get down there in the dust and cry out to God and to wait upon Him, the answer came forth. And oh, we see that in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. Oh, yes. Oh, it looked pretty desperate, didn't it? One man already killed with the sword, James, the brother of John. Now they had taken Peter. Oh, my, was there any hope? But oh, yes, they waited upon the Lord. They cried out to God. They enclosed themselves, to cry out to God in that secret place of the Most High God, there together, crying out to God. And as they waited upon God, The answer came forth, oh yes, God mightily delivered Peter in a way that you would never think, oh my, but that's our God. We can't guess him. We don't know how the answers will come, but one thing we can do, we can have confidence that we serve an amazing, mighty God. Oh, yes, a God that doesn't faint. A God that does not grow weary. Oh, a God that doesn't have to scratch his head and say, I give up. I don't know the answer. No, we don't serve that kind of God. Oh, we serve a mighty God who has all the answers. And oh, he has great mercy for those that will cry out to him, those that will seek his face. Oh my, those that will cry out with all the heart. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's look at Psalms 27 as I begin to close here. Oh, it says, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, praise the Lord. And this chapter ends by the words here in verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Waiting means that we don't give up. It means that we keep hoping, that we keep believing, that we keep praying, that we keep seeking, that we keep knocking. Oh, praise the Lord. We keep waiting. And praise the Lord, we serve a God who comes through, praise the Lord. Oh, who hears the cries of his people. And oh, yes, as that psalmist declared in this 27th chapter, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, praise the Lord, but God comes through. And he said, oh, and this is so important if we can all hear this. Oh, when it seems like the answers are slow in coming and we don't know what to do. Do we give into despair? Do we give up? Oh, do we say it's not going to happen? No, we are told here to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad we serve such a merciful, kind, long-suffering God, a patient God, oh, who hears the cries of his people. He knows our needs even before we ask. And oh, praise the Lord, we can depend upon him. Oh, his faithfulness is great. And praise the Lord, oh, it's never wrong to wait on the Lord and be of good courage, knowing that he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Are you waiting on the Lord tonight? Are you believing him? Oh, yes, the answers will come. You just don't give up and you know, don't turn sour. Oh, you don't reject God and you think, you know, it's impossible. No, give it over to the Lord and wait on him. Let him come through. Yes, for he is a faithful God and he hears the cries of his people. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he knows how to give us strength. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Work in our hearts, God. Give us that kind of faith. Give us that kind of boldness. Oh, God, help us to, oh, Lord, continue to wait on thee and trust in thee. Persevere through every difficulty and every test, every trial. Give us that kind of strength. Help us to be of good courage and to wait on you, Lord. Oh, God, know that you will strengthen our hearts. Oh, God, give us that kind of faith and boldness. Help us now, I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, for you know the needs of your people, Lord. You know our cries. You know our hearts, oh Lord. You know the things that we have need of. And oh Lord, we beseech thee and wait on thee in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. In closing, we are going to open our chorus books to number 48 and sing They That Wait Upon the Lord, number 48. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me.
Teach me, Lord, teach me. God. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.